You're listening to Around Comics, episode 91.
Is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman. I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Heidi ho.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
Hey, I'm not the straw that stirs the drink anymore. I'm
just here. You're just a regular. You're just here.
You're a pot stirrer is what you are. I heard the Vince over at Bullpen Bulletins introduce you as the straw that stirs the drink. He stole that from me.
He and the check.
That was yours.
Yeah, that was he wrote. I wrote that. It's my line.
Copyright.
I made up the term co-host.
I invented the internet. I invented podcasting.
Pat Riley told me I told Pat Riley about the word three-peat in a hot tub, and he stole it from me.
What were you doing?
Byron Scott and Pat Riley.
My favorite bogus claim to fame is Warner Wolf, the sportscaster from the West Coast who worked for CBS, who says he coined the phrase, "Let's go to the videotape." Which to me is like, let's all tie our shoes. It's like a little.
I already had that, John.
There you go. Let's go to the videotape.
Let's go to the tape.
I can understand that.
I think.
It's like, why? What are you kidding? That's like, let's all lose the exit.
I invented the toilet.
I coined the phrase, hello, how are you?
That's
exactly.
our regular Monday guest, as we're already quite aware of. You know him as the host of Word Balloon. We know him as our good buddy, Mr. John Suntress.
I'm the Virginia Graham of the foursome.
Hello, it's wonderful to be here.
people know who that is.
Seriously, and that just blew
dude, what mind. Age group dude, is your audience?
another voice in the Suntress
like
catalog.
Mike Gold and Ostrander are listening.
I hope everyone kept a hold of their walkers while they were laughing at that one.
Don't want anybody to break a hip, you know?
Virginia Graham just popped in my mind. I can't help it.
That's scary enough.
Get out.
Was she naked?
And no, she was fully clothed, thankfully.
Oh, thank God.
Wearing cat's eye glasses.
You don't know how many times I want to scream Phyllis Diller during the show.
Diller.
Damn you!
Diller.
Well, folks, this is one of our Monday news and reviews
episodes. Did anybody catch Phyllis Diller on...
Dancing with the Stars?
No, she was on, what's that Shatner show?
Boston Legal?
Get out of here. She's like 86, 87.
And she cackled that cackle of hers, but it was very, it was horrible. Anyway.
She had to, like, catch her breath probably.
I think it was Phyllis Diller. I don't know, maybe it was some other old comedian. I don't remember.
I think
comedian.
It was Phyllis Diller.
Probably Phyllis Diller.
I think it was.
Let's get Diller.
Well, folks, this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by Borders.
Your heart pounds, your palms sweat, the tension is nearly unbearable. And then you spot it, that graphic novel you've been searching for everywhere, right here in your local Borders. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find exactly what you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite graphic novels, manga, and more. Click on the Borders banner on the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon. Check Borders first. Find a store near you at www.borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at aroundcomics.com.
Thank you to the fine folks at Borders. Want to remind everyone that Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles.
Around.
It's located at
7-ish.
Yeah, it's like 8:30.
Get Dark here early, though, to get the good seats.
We had to get ice cream.
Chairs.
That's right. Dark Tower is located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago, if you're in the area. Even coming all the way from California, correct? We have Matt and his...
Paradiddle and his wife, Mrs. Paradiddle.
Mrs. Diddle.
Mrs. Diddle. Nice.
Ms. Diddle.
Honey, we're going to Chicago. Great. What are we going to do while we're going to
come? We're going to see a play? Or are we going to, you know?
Yeah, go to the, you know, merchandise
Sears Tower. You
know, something.
Radio, theater of the mind.
There you are.
Yeah. We're going to a comic store.
Would that make her the future ex?
I think
Ms. Diddle.
I bet she was convinced it was like performance art or something like that.
Oh, wow. What's a podcast?
And, like, we're wearing black, so I think. You know, partially it kind of work as we break in a moment, Shine.
Well, Tom's got the loose. luchador mask on again.
I'm going to climb out of like a giant egg.
Hello, I'm a jackalpit.
Hello.
Good evening and welcome to the theater.
I am
the
laughter.
Theater.
He is sadness.
Indeed.
And I am shame.
It could happen.
So I think we have a new career.
All right. Well, folks, as I tried to say a couple minutes ago, this is one of our news and reviews episodes. That means it's time for Wire to Wire comic book news.
Wire to Wire comic book news.
All right, guys, want to make sure and mention that all of our news is coming from the fine folks over at Comic Book Resources. For the full version of these and other stories, you can check everything out at aroundcomics.com, or you can go to comicbookresources.com.
Yes.
Right off the top here, some trouble in Spirit of Vengeance land. Gary
I get all, what? I get all my mail from Spirit of Vengeance land.
Yeah, I went on vacation there.
Spirit of Vengeance.
Gary Friedrich, creator of Ghost Rider, the Spirit of Vengeance.
All right, I'm a little lost on this whole story because he created Ghost Rider and somehow got the rights back to it.
Well, yeah, because this was 1968.
Is this the horse in
last year? No, it was. It's really the same principle that Joe Simon and Jack Kirby and the other creators who, or I should say, the Siegels and the Schusters. 68 was the last year under the old statute of limitations for copyrights, and I believe it was like 34 years. Don't quote me. I'm not a lawyer, but if I were...
But he played one on...
But no, and then now it's been extended thanks to the Sonny Bono Act, because it was an act that Sonny Bono was through Congress in terms of extending. Now copyrights are 96 years.
Yeah.
But 68 was the last one under the old one. And I believe, you know, you had to state your claim, you know, after that, after those 26 years, and or 30, whatever, 34
yeah, something
years.
Like that.
And
2001, it ran out.
And Gary Friedrich just, you know, said, "Hey, I own the trademark and likeness."
Wow, what great timing for him,
the Ghost Rider. Sure. Well, we'll see what happens.
What's weird is if he owns it. Why did Marvel make him?
Why didn't they not know that?
Yeah, is that?
Or why? Well, they figured they got enough money to fight him.
I think it's murky. No, I, to be honest, I don't know. I'm
John. Do a lawyer voice. Man of a thousand voices. Talk like a lawyer.
Okay.
Damn
so
it.
What I'm thinking is this:
Dan DiDio is not a lawyer.
He's not a lawyer,
but he's slick, and I just figured that this would be the same voice. Okay. It
more
works
Bill
like
Clinton.
This.
Need more Bill Clinton.
I can't do Clinton. I'm sorry to say.
You let me down, John.
You're the only one.
Exactly.
Well, I'm sure that this is one that we will see play out in the media in the next few months. But
they're fascinating to watch because think of all the different creators, Infantino and Joe Simon.
I don't know the specifics of the case, but I'm always kind of like to root for the creators and make sure that they get.
Well, he claims basically that they never registered the Ghost Rider work with the Copyright Office, and that's why in 2001 it lapsed.
I see.
In 1968, he agreed to publish through Stan Lee's magazine, Entertainment, which later became Marvel Entertainment. But, yeah, man, that could be a windfall. I mean, that could be huge settlement dollars for him if he's got any kind of case whatsoever.
Sure.
So, well, we'll see.
Interesting.
Although with that movie, I don't know.
Ghost Rider 2 money.
I was wondering if he was considering, like, do I really want people to know that I'm Ghost Rider? It wasn't anything like this.
Another creation, this one from Frank Frazetta, that being Death Dealer, had a very rapid sellout in comic book stores this past week. The press release says 6 hours.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. Was that every comic shop in the country sold out of Death Dealer in 6 hours?
No, Diamond. It's Diamond.
Yeah, it's Drew Diamond. It's the same thing that happened years ago with the Punisher, Circle of Blood, with Steve Grant and Mike Zeck. You know,
does Diamond, okay, the order, the previews issues go on sale, and then the comic shops place their orders beginning at noon on X day, and so then they time like how quickly.
If orders started at like 10 o'clock in the morning, that by 4 o'clock in the afternoon they were sold out.
Well, when I read this, I was desperate.
I was told there was no math.
Did anybody get Death Dealer?
I ordered it. I didn't get my shipment this week. It showed up today, but I didn't go home to get them. I did order it though because I'm a big Frazetta fan.
What you were asking your wife if she would drop by the shop.
on the way out. Yeah, I was kidding with my wife, saying, hey, could you drop my comics off? Because she called me and said that they had showed up, because she knew I was concerned.
She knows how things roll in the house.
That's right. She knows what's important. I'm bringing in that podcasting money. She better know. I'm bringing in those big podcasting dollars.
How is the van down by the river?
The van is
that full.
Very nice, yes.
Congratulations to Josh Ortega, the writer of Death Dealer. I think that's great, and I'm sorry, the artist's name is...
Nat Jones, thank you.
Jay Photos, the colorist. It looks cool. The preview art looks fantastic.
Yep. It'll be interesting.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen it, but...
It'll be interesting with all the stuff that is... No, it's sold out here.
Oh, it did sell out.
Yeah.
In 6 hours, I wonder?
I haven't asked Mark, but it was gone on Wednesday whenever I got
here. Someone bought all the issues off the truck.
I just think it's that Frazetta. I mean, you do anything with Frazetta's name attached to a Death Dealer. Everybody knows that character.
Sure.
If you're a Frazetta fan... You know Death Dealer. It's like a no-brainer. I mean, it's a comic book. Frazetta.
We're starting to see
some fun on the side of my fan.
Yeah, real.
Yeah, I got a big Death Dealer airbrush.
Black light poster.
I got
absolutely
a giant fucking van. I need something on the side of it.
Exactly.
Because I'm not rolling through the city with just a big white van.
Yeah, who does Death Dealer on the side of the van?
If I'm trying to sell speakers out of my van, I need something to grab the person's eye.
I already got, you know, the bubble window that's a moon. I need some kind of...
Come on, man.
Well, we're seeing some really good titles that are pulling people in from outside of, you know, comic fandom.
Oh, yeah.
With, you know, Buffy and the Stephen King stuff, and now Death Dealer, and there's a few others
out there. I did read Buffy
this week. What do you think of the first one?
You know, I thought it was kind of entertaining. I was a little lost because I didn't really watch the last season at all.
Okay.
So I didn't know, you know, it was kind of weird because it was like thrown into this entirely different, you know...
Hundreds of Slayers.
Yeah, that whole thing, and I didn't know what was going on. But, you know, no big deal, whatever. I thought it was kind of... But I really did like the one line in it with Xander...
As Nick Fury.
Called me Sergeant Fury. That was pretty funny because he's...
I don't understand a word any of you...
I'm sorry.
I've never seen a single episode of Buffy.
Oh,
it's very funny. It's very funny.
It is a wasteland.
No, honestly, I had kind of been dragged kicking and screaming to watch Buffy, and I'm pleased to say it's a very
funny
show.
And now you're covered. You got, like, tattoo sleeves.
I've got an angel on my ass. I've got a spike on my elbow.
One of the gals... This will sound weird, but one of the gals who runs the dog daycare that I take my dogs to...
You're right. It does sound weird. You can stop.
Are you and Mike Norton sharing a kennel?
Ninja's not going to C-Spot Run.
Oh.
But,
plug. Ding, ding. Where's the bell?
Where's the check?
Giving up, yeah.
But Anne at C-Spot Run is a big Buffy fan, and she knows that I, you know, do the podcast and whatnot.
She knows
I'm the comic?
And no, she hasn't gotten it yet. And she goes, well, hey, I'm really looking forward to Buffy. And I was like, really, where are you getting it? And she's ordering it from online somewhere, a place that she just saw it on the internet and ordered it. She hasn't gotten it yet.
Buffy.
But I thought that was really interesting that... I think it goes back to some of the discussions we've had. She wouldn't search out a comic book store. She would just order it online.
And why? You take a look around. Who
guilty pleasure.
I think it's funny because when you told that story, I imagine the reason she knows you do a podcast is that the first time you brought the dog in, you were probably like, oh, hey, and I do a podcast.
No. It's the Around Comics comic book podcast sweater that his dogs wear.
No.
The dog's leg.
My dog.
Poor dog.
The dog isn't listening.
And she's not a special needs dog, but she does have a Queen and Country sweater for when she gets cold.
You gave the Rucka sweater to your dog?
No, I made a new one.
Oh, I was going to say. That's copyright.
I don't know which one of those two options is worse.
Sorry, Greg.
Yeah, that you gave it was like, oh, wow, thank goodness you didn't just give that sweatshirt away. No,
I would have thought that was...
Don't worry, dude,
you know.
I made a new one.
Yeah, I guess either one is kind of...
Okay, moving on. Big surprise, the March sales numbers are out, and Captain America 25 sold a lot of comics.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, amazing that you couldn't find one.
Yeah, it was number one on the comics index.
How many did it sell?
360, whatever that is. I don't know.
300.9. That's 360,000, right?
Mm-hmm. No, well, it's in reference to Batman, which is always 100.
Oh, it's that index thing.
Yeah, the index thing. So.
So we have no idea what this means?
You can estimate. It's like the magic of comic book numbers is no one really knows anything.
Yeah.
You have to, like, guess off of what you think detective sells. on that.
What?
A Batman, not
to yeah. It's
I don't understand that whole concept.
Batman
at all.
Is 100.
Yeah. Right.
And then whatever.
And that's the median. That's
that is the median.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the Mendoza line.
Yeah. Exactly.
And everything is so the index is based off of that.
Yes. Mendoza line. Is
so depending on what detective yeah. sells.
Yeah. So
not
this
detective
sold
Batman.
Or Batman.
Specifically Batman.
Batman. Specifically Batman.
Yeah.
Why did they choose Batman?
Because it was always a high seller, and I think, like, always a leader.
Consistent, very
yeah.
consistent,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I think so. I think it does have a consistent audience.
Okay.
So.
Seems weird that
the
that's
magic.
What you would use.
It's the magic of
yeah.
Because nobody beats Batman.
It's sort
how
of.
Many, how many arguments do you need to be in a comic book store? Nobody beats Batman.
Knows,
okay, I forgot about
Batman
that. I'm sorry.
Batman knows you have to figure
Here's
out the
my
numbers.
Nerd card, sir.
Thank you. Yeah.
Batman knows you have to figure out the numbers. He'll figure
so
out
So how many did Batman sell? Anybody know?
Well, it's not in the top 15.
So is it? Never mind.
It's not 100. It
well,
is not 100.
There are some interesting things in the top 15. We'll go through them here real quick. Captain America number 25. Mighty Avengers number 1.
If you're
one.
Gonna do it, you got to do it like Casey Kasem.
Well, go.
Top.
Oh, are you gonna start?
Shall we start at number 10? Okay.
Okay.
We've got Wolverine at number 52. Number 9, you've got Dark Horse's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Number 8 has Civil War Confession. Brian Michael Bendis on that one. Bendis also at the number 7 slot with New Avengers 28. Brad Meltzer checks in at number 6 with Justice League of America, number 6.
Wow.
Stephen King,
one more
the King of Rock and Roll, comes in with Dark Tower Gunslinger, born number 2 of 7. It's at number 5. Dan Slott and Civil War's Initiative. Well, actually, that's that big special that cost so much damn money. There was a bunch of reprints, but it still satisfied the audience by taking the number 4 slot in our countdown.
Speaking of slot, oh no.
J. Michael Straczynski, JMS to his friends, clocks in at number 3 with Amazing Spider-Man 539. That's where Aunt May gets it in the crosshairs.
Ooh.
Number 2, Brian Bendis again with Mighty Avengers.
That Bendis.
And the number 1 comic book for
Why
the month of March.
Why are you spitting on me?
I'm spitting on my thing. It's Captain America 25, the death
As long
of
as you're not
America.
Spitting on my thing.
Now we'll be back with our long-distance dedication
nice.
From the Fortress of Solitude.
Hey, John, can you tell me? Can you read 52 number 47 to me?
We'll be sure to get that out for you, Pally.
Well, I think what's interesting is that we finally see a non-Marvel DC book crack the top 10 with Buffy the Vampire
yeah, but
Slayer.
Yeah, Buffy. Well, and actually, I guess
Buffy
technically,
is Whedon.
I'd even say the Dark Tower, really, even though it's a Marvel.
Yeah, it's a Marvel book.
Yeah, all right, fine.
That's
yeah, go fuck yourself,
yeah, but
John.
Yeah. Stick it up your ass, Sundress.
It says Marvel on it. You know?
It is a Marvel book. But yeah, Buffy did the... But it's Whedon, and it's... Yeah, of course.
And then 11 through 14 are the 52s from that month, and then JSA comes in at 15.
Poor
so not
DC.
A good Casey Kasem.
Justice
but.
Society, oh, America.
Oh,
I'm pretty cool, though, that everything
Irish,
has...
It's Irish, oh, man. Oh, no.
That the top 15, including the top 15, they're all over the 100 mark for the index, which
whatever
we don't
that
know
means.
What the hell that
104.91. I think these are radio stations. 115...
104.91. Nothing but oldies.
I listen to 369 all summer long.
369.
Great, we got a t-shirt for you, fella. Hang
awesome.
On the line.
Oh, God.
Play Beach Boys for me.
Beach.
Doing it now.
Okay, well, moving on. One that probably won't end up in the top 15, but I'm
hey,
looking forward
well,
to it.
What the fuck? You're already saying it won't.
We love a Tony Bedard.
Bashing on...
Not bashing. I'm just
on
saying
the
it's probably not a top 15 book. But Black Canary
Could
is
be.
Going to get a solo miniseries coming out in July. Looks like it's a four-parter by Tony
She's
Bedard.
She's riding the motorcycle,
and,
man.
help me out with this name. John Paolo
Sequeira?
Sequeira?
Or Sequeira.
Paolo S, exactly.
But Tony, man, I'm a Tony Bedard fan.
He's awesome.
With Ike Siles, and I loved his cross-gen stuff. I'm a huge fan.
Black Canary is really kind of reasserting herself as a, not she is, but DC is reasserting
I was gonna say,
Black Canary
as
kind of a major player in the
as
DC.
A solo character.
Yeah.
It's surprising that Gail Simone
I am solo. Shit, she's the chairman of the JLA now.
Spoilers!
Oh, sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
did I miss
really.
That?
Yes,
was that
did.
In 7?
Yeah, that was in 7, yeah.
I guess I like glossed
Spoilers.
Over that little part, but okay. But that's
Someone
fine.
Cried about it.
That's
no,
because you're a misogynistic,
DiDio last,
John.
No, but last summer, I remember at San Diego, DiDio saying that he wanted that it's time for more than just Wonder Woman out there as far as you know mainstream heroes. And yeah, she's a fan favorite. Why not? I think this is a great move. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner.
I'm looking forward to Green Arrow Year 1. I think that Black Canary is going to play a big role in that, hopefully.
Well, earlier you were saying
aren't
that
they
the Black
supposed to get
Canary
married?
Book.
Yeah, that's the talk.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Tom.
It's the scuttlebutt.
Tom, do you think Black Canary is going to be top 15 books? Selling.
I'm just saying anything could happen. I mean, what, are we editorializing on the news now all the time?
Yeah. Well, that's pretty
Let's
much.
Let's go on to
that's
this.
That's kind of what we do.
Wonder Woman written by Gail Simone. Oh, it's going to sell 500,000 copies. I don't know. It sells between 0 and 100.
Did you read on
the index?
Yeah.
Did you read on the... And I'm sorry, because I know that Comic Book Resources is sponsoring the news, but did you read the Newsarama blog about...
We're going to beep that out.
Yeah, that's getting cut out. I can't have that on
it.
Don't be plugging your fucking website on our podcast.
I'm not saying it from that standpoint. I'm being honest. I just
John,
spit there.
We have to talk to you about...
Stop spitting and mentioning Newsarama.
Do you really want me to not... Because I won't if you want.
I'm just kidding, John. I linked to it on our website, on our forum today.
Too, on the show, so no one can associate.
But no, Jody... I forget.
Pickle it.
Sorry, Jody, if we're getting your name wrong.
Yeah,
but
something like that.
She was interviewed by USA Today, Pop Candy, and how difficult it was to write Wonder Woman. It was very interesting.
It was a good interview. I really liked her ideas for what that character should be. I thought she had an interesting take on it, on how...
I can appreciate Luz the Bustier, but it's like, well, that's part of the trademark image, Jody.
Yeah, I mean, well...
You know, it's like Mickey Luz the red pants.
Yeah.
You know, they're not working for him.
Ooh,
anymore.
Sexy.
Mickey. Sans pants.
Those red pants.
Master Mouse, sans pants. Brilliant. But I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
Certainly. But as far as Gail taking over Wonder Woman, I think that's...
Yeah,
it's
a no-brainer.
Cool. It was a no-brainer. And
it's about time she got a, like... And not to, like, downplay what she's been working on, because I love pretty much everything she's writing right
now. She's been great at working on B-level books and really raising the level on them.
She had an A-level book a couple of years ago, and the run was cut short, and that's Action.
Yeah.
And I thought she was doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah, she was.
On Action. And I think as much as Birds of Prey has been her baby after it was Chuck Dixon's, she wouldn't leave unless it was probably an A-list book.
Yeah.
Because why would
why,
you?
Why would you leave
it? And so, yeah, it was either going to be this or the Marvel family, and with between Jeff Smith and Judd Winnick and everything, it's not like the Marvel family was up for grabs. So this is, it's a win-win. I think it gives Wonder Woman fans the writer that they would really like. I think it gives Gail Simone fans a book that they would love to see Gail working on, because they know how enthusiastic Gail is about the character.
And finally, a steady writer in Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you know, it's too bad. I mean, I think Rucka's run was the last good run. And, I mean, it's been... I feel bad for Alan and Jody. And
it's just been no consistency with the title since Rucka left it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it happens.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it happens. Speaking of Birds of Prey, I think everybody knows by now that Sean McKeever is going to be taking over Birds of Prey.
Yeah, we broke that story last week. I wasn't here for what...
I think Sean's going to do a great job on that book.
Oh, hell yeah. No, he writes women really well, and he's a good action writer. No, I think Sean's cool.
So it'll be interesting to see what else he does at DC once he kind of gets up and rolling here. I don't think that he got the books at Marvel that he wanted to, and so I think he's going to have some great opportunities at DC. So
he writes women well, yeah. You know what that means? Yeah.
Thank you, Hef. Hey.
There was a preview image of the new Iron Man armor that was, I don't know if it was leaked or, it definitely doesn't look like a promotion photo, but it gives you a real good idea of at least the first version of the Iron Man armor that we're going to see in the upcoming movie.
Looks
so
great.
Guys, thoughts?
Oh, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, I thought it looked great. I
appropriately realistic, and yet
it has that retro,
the Don Heck look of the origin.
Yeah, it is the old school. Was it Tales to Astonish? Is that what he started in?
I believe that's right.
Yeah,
yeah. It's before the Golden Avenger armor. This is the original.
I think
stuff.
It sucks.
What?
He's just trying to be difficult.
You're just stirring up stirring the drink again, huh, Tom?
As long as he's fighting Vietnamese, the Viet Cong.
No, he's in Afghanistan.
That's not gonna
really.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
What
are they gonna make him like 70?
How's the Mandarin doing in Afghanistan?
Show up.
Afghani.
I'm kidding. He wasn't actually part of the origin.
The Mandarin's gonna show up and be like,
oh, well,
I'm confused about why I'm your villain.
Why do I think, why am I?
Maybe Iron Man should go find Osama bin Laden.
Hey,
meet up with Batman.
Somebody needs to, my friend. That's all I know.
That's fucking
right on, Bubba.
Let's get Frank Miller on the phone.
I'm with you.
USA.
Where have you
suddenly
gone?
We're in the Savage Nation. I don't know what the hell happened.
Hey,
Negatives.
Wasn't on our notes, but one other kind of news story I saw was on his webpage, on his blog, Jim Lee kind of updated the status of All-Star Batman and Robin.
Heard about
it? Delivered via story.
Well, he said, no, this is a weird thing. It's like he said he's done with 5 and 6, and he's really deep into issue 7, but they haven't released 5 and 6 because they wanted to wait so that they had, like, a good run of stuff to start when they start re-releasing it.
They
want
to come out monthly for a good 3 months in a row.
Yeah, at least. So.
And how long is this damn story?
Over
it. Who cares? Jesus. At this point, who cares?
I know. It's disappointing. I mean, it really is. It has reached a point of who cares. I mean, it's...
Are they out of the car?
No. Yes, they're out of the car. Okay. They're in the cave now.
Oh, that's right. I'm still waiting for Ultimate Wolverine versus Hulk.
Yeah, what happened to that?
Oh, where did I... Indefinite. I saw a really funny... joke about that. What the? It was a.
It was in Bazooka Joe.
No, it was a. It was a Hulk. It was a Hulk Wolverine joke, and it was Hulk like yanking.
Oh, that's Jeff Loeb. It was in. It was the backup story of.
That wasn't a joke.
Of
that
Wolverine
was the story.
50. That's the story.
Was it?
It's an interlude, and it.
Okay.
And it's. It's the introduction of a story that I think Jeff is going to explore in Wolverine.
Okay.
Yeah. That wasn't a joke.
That's no joke.
No,
sir.
Let's
go to the top.
Was it Hulk pulling Iron Man in half?
No, Wolverine in half, snapping him in two.
No, this is something else, and I forget what it is, but it was Hulk yanking Iron Man in half, and it was Wolverine, something like, you know, that looks familiar.
Oh, been there, done that?
Yeah, something along those lines. Whatever.
I'm sure it translates better.
That's like kind of the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Think your job is tough. What about mine?
I'm a stork that shovels shit.
Exactly.
One other story I saw. I'm almost sick of this. Actually, no, I am kind of sick of this. It seems like...
Those Democrats complaining.
What a bunch of those clowns in Congress! What a bunch of clowns!
Black Panther number 27.
Yes.
Co-starring the Marvel zombies. So,
hey man, everyone loves zombies. Apparently,
zombies are hot.
You know, actually,
are we
you know
sick?
Who does
of
truly love zombies? Axel Alonso. So I'm really not surprised. I'm sure he's like, great, do it.
Zombies.
He does. I asked him. I'm like, dude, aren't there? Because he said, he goes, oh man, one of our new Max books is going to be zombies. I'm like, enough with the zombies. He goes, you can never have enough zombies. I'm like, all right, man.
I'm kind of with him. I love zombies. I don't care.
Well, the Marvel zombies.
I don't always buy everything that's got a zombie in it, but
I mean, this just reeks of ploy to buy Black Panther.
Sir,
hey, whatever
it's
it takes,
the comic
man.
Book industry. Right, everything
exactly.
is a ploy to buy a comic.
Yeah.
Everything, every story plot, every character, every creator, every artist.
Reggie, it's Axel.
It's all a ploy,
there.
Dude.
All
right.
I just
open your eyes, man. Open your eyes.
Look around you, fool. But yeah, man. One of the things we were talking about off mic earlier is that it does kind of connect the Ultimate and 616 universe in a weird way. It's because the Marvel Zombies started out in the Ultimate Universe, and now they are crossing over into the 616. So, from a really geeky fanboy moment there, you know, you guys are just...
I believe you.
Connect the dots.
I believe you.
Connect the dots.
Come on, Tom. If that was going on in DC, you'd be like, yeah.
Hey, a couple other things.
We talked about Ian had the guy from the Tangent Universe, like, cross through, man. Worlds are colliding.
Everyone.
A couple of other things. Ghost Rider DVD will be available on June 12th.
Market calendar.
Pins and needles.
John, I'll see you at Best Buy.
Yeah, really, man. Not if I beat you to it.
Will Eisner documentary is going to be screened at the Tribeca Film Festival.
Yes, indeed.
In
I've heard
New York.
Good things about that fine film.
I'll see you there, John.
You guys going to go?
Always.
Not if I beat you first.
And this is Marvel Editor-in-Chief Joe Quesada has asked the organizers of the Eagle Awards to remove his name from nomination for favorite editor in this year's awards. Explaining his reason for the decision, Quesada said, "In my years in the comics industry, I often found that whenever a Marvel editor-in-chief was nominated for a Best Editor Award, they would almost always win. I always thought this rather unjust, as an EIC had an unfair advantage over line editors, as he was the person whose name was on all the books. And like everyone who has had this job, we tend to get way too much credit for the hard work of others." So very magnanimous removal for Joe Q.
Well, I can't wait to see who wins. I'll see you there, John.
Not if I don't see you there first, Gators.
Say hi to Jeffrey Brown while you're there, because he will be there. And we didn't make the nomination list for Best Website.
You didn't? I'm sorry.
No. I heard we were a close fourth.
Well, yeah, who'd you hear that from?
That close for
close. That was great.
Tight. Close.
Wow. Ooh. What do you get for that? A bowl of soup?
There was one other thing.
Not even Joe that. Todd.
No idea. Free beer.
A hug.
Oh, and I wanted to say congratulations to Devil's Due. They had a rash of sellouts recently for X-Zombie, Seeley's new book, and some G.I. Joe and stuff. And,
Which is the Hack/Chucky book?
Let's see. We should go over there and congratulate him.
I'll see you there, John.
Not if I see you first, Gators.
What is this bad joke you guys keep?
It's the rule of...
it's threes, babe.
The rule of threes, so we need to do two more.
You've done five.
Yeah, I think we have done like
that's four.
Okay. Right. Zombie...
We have six.
Zombie, the Seeley's book, Dungeons & Dragons, Dragonlance Chronicles, Forgotten Realms, G.I. Joe, America's Elite.
Cool.
Doesn't look like Hack Slash, but those did have...
Well, Forgotten
they did have a bunch of...
It was a close fourth.
Good for them. It was a close one.
Anyone who's listened to the last 3 minutes might have gotten confused and thought it was skipping.
Yeah.
You first, Gators.
God. Jesus.
Well, you know, we actually do have some exclusive news.
What's exclusive?
That, yeah.
What?
It's, we got an exclusive interview with Dan DiDio and one of Marvel's favorite villains. Shall we take a listen?
Sure.
All right. Here it is.
I can't wait.
Dan DiDio?
Neither can I. John, I'll see you at the interview.
I'll see you there, Tom.
Not if I see you first.
Dan DiDio and Doom.
Mr. Von Doom, thank you very much for meeting with me. I got a proposal
Keep
for you.
Down.
Well, don't worry. I made sure that this is a very secluded parking lot. Don't worry about a thing. Listen. I know you've been very happy at Marvel. You've been there for a very long time, but me and the guys at DC, I mean, we're having such fun. We're all flush over 52 and Infinite Crisis. We're really excited about the company right now, and we've got a proposal for you. We think you, much like we got Sean McKeever to come over here.
Stop. I have five things I demand. Number one, I get my own office.
No problem. We got plenty of room at 75 Rockefeller. Don't worry about it.
Number two, I have a separate empty office near mine that I will never use, but no one else is ever to use it, and it has a statue of me inside it.
We can work it out. You know who does good statues for us? Jim Lee. We have a guy,
no.
Andy Bowen, goes and does it, depicting from Jim Lee's work.
No,
I think you'll
Jim Lee. I don't want abs in my armor. The armor is smooth. I have gained weight, Dan. I'm not going to lie to you. You just haven't been kind to you.
Well, that's all right. That's what the armor's there to cover up. I wouldn't worry about it. Listen, the deal is we want you. We're going to give Marvel Darkseid and three villains to be named later.
I want to bring Paste Pot Pete with you.
We can work that out. I can see him fighting Plastic Man. It would be a very exciting combination.
He gets to kill Batman. With glue.
I got to talk to Shrek about that, but maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. Listen, how would you feel about maybe, I don't know, who am I thinking of writing you? We got some really great writers. Mark Waid, I think, would do beautiful work. He's done it already on Fantastic Four. I see you. First of all, you knock off Steel in about the first six-month issue arc. Then we do something really big. We got you against Batman. It's Doom. It's Bat. It's Doom Bat. It's Bat Doom. Whatever you want.
I want to kill a JLI member every week in my own weekly comic.
Okay, I'll tell you what, we'll start with Manitou, and then we'll see how things go. Maybe we'll give you Black Raven. I don't even remember what the hell her name is.
I would like to kill Superman.
He's kind of a big one. He's like one of our trademarks and everything.
And when I kill him,
I don't know about that.
He's kind of big.
Wouldn't mind a fight. That'd be good.
I want to stand over his body and have a crowd of well-wishers say, Doom, you are more handsome than Superman, and you've defeated him.
If we get rid of Darkseid, we got a big planet for you. We call it Apocalypse. I think you're going to love it. A lot of fire, a lot of brimstone.
Nothing cosmic. There's all kinds of weird characters out there, like light ray. And all. I've read The Fourth World. It's creepy and weird.
Well, I figured you had a taste of that Silver Surfer magic and everything when you stole his powers. I figured you might be able to play around with those guys. We got a kid, Orion. He's really got a complex. I think he's going to hate you.
He rides a tiny scooter, and I don't enjoy looking at him. I want Atlantis.
You know, Lobo's motorcycle isn't doing anything. We can give you that to drive around on if you want.
I will take the supercycle from the Forever People. You keep Lobo.
I don't know. That thing still has an 8-track tape player in it, okay? I'll tell you what. We'll bump it up. We'll put an iPod in there for you. Would that be good?
I want the biggest iPod ever. 900 gigs, and it's made out of gold. With
I'll
wires.
Get LexCorp and Star Labs to start working on it. It'll be fine. We'll have it ready for you in a week.
2,000 gigs, then.
Okay, we can talk about that. That'd be one. You know, maybe we got the Fortress of Solitude computers. Maybe they can help you out.
I want two Fortresses of Solitude.
We've got
one on top of the other.
We've got one in the Antarctic. We got one in South America. We got one up in the North Pole. We got three, really, if you count the various parallel Earths.
I want you to call... that's the other thing. Call Earth 2 Earth Doom and go back and rewrite all the Earth 2 stories so that Doom is always in them.
Would you settle for Earth X? Freedom Fighters were there.
No.
The Nazis took over. They won. It was really crazy.
I want Earth X to be called Earth Pace Pop Pete. And I want you to go back and rewrite all the stories so Pace Pop Pete defeats the Nazis.
Would you settle for a matchup with him and Robbie Reed, the Dial for H kid? He was really good.
Yes. I would settle for that.
Oh, good, I got you starting to think my way. I like that. This is good. Can I call you Vic? I call Cyborg Vic. We get along really well.
I want you to call me Victor.
You know, Joe Kubert still owns Tor, so I don't think I can call you Victor, but
Victor?
I'll think about it.
I would also like to be the editor-in-chief.
Well, I'm the executive editor. You got those two offices? Fine. One will be a throne room. The other one will be executive and chief editor.
I want a weekly book about me called Doom's Comics Daily. But it doesn't come out daily, it comes out weekly. But no one will question it because I'm Doom. And that's the title I've come up with now.
All right. I'll have my assistant write it up. She's Italian. There's a little language barrier, but I think you'll get the gist of it. It should be great.
I'm ready to sign.
This is wonderful. I got to call Casada, all right? I'm ready to make this deal. This is going to change comic books forever.
And that'll take care of our wire-to-wire comic book news. Thank you to Comic Book Resources and to Dan DiDio and Doom.
Quite the
pair.
A couple
of jackasses, really.
DiDio really wants Doom on the DC.
And Doom doesn't... I think Doom's playing coy because I think he's demanding... He doesn't really want to leave Marvel. So he keeps demanding.
He makes these huge demands.
Yeah.
He's like Romita Jr.
DiDio just keeps saying yes. Yeah, we'll do it. Absolutely, we'll do it. You know he's lying to him, but... And that's not smart.
Hey.
You don't screw with Doom.
Dan's dying. Dan's lying.
Dan's dying?
No, he's fine.
What have you heard?
We just started an internet rumor.
All right, well, that'll take care of our news. That means it is time for Top of the Stack.
Top of the Stack.
That's right, it's Top of the Stack. Our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. Mr. Caters?
For the second time in a row, the second issue in a row, I'm picking Fables.
What?
The Top of the Stack, yeah. For completely different reasons.
Why don't you just pick the trade when it comes out?
Ooh.
Oh, well,
this happens to fall in between. So, go fuck yourself.
Mr. Noel.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Hey,
very
so
aggressive.
Happens to be the best.
Reading Fables has made you so angry.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, hasn't it? That's the real reason why I'm a dick. That's why I've been reading Fables. What I liked, the last issue is the one where it took all the reader requests and, answered questions. And this one really sort of got back to the heart of the overall story that's been going on, which I think for the last 5-6 issues kind of got off track a little bit from the main narrative. You had, like, the Christmas issue, and then you had the two-part story, and then you had
the reader questions.
You know, and it became, you sort of lost track a little bit of the overall story. And it really got right back to where it was. And it sort of reminded me a lot of my favorite story arc in the series is when Boy Blue goes back to, the homelands to, find Red Riding Hood. And this really reminds me of sort of that feeling of that book or, all the really great moments in this book where it seems so epic and you have all these characters that, you wouldn't expect the Frog Prince to be able to be put into some sort of epic context. And then you read it and you're like, oh, wow, I really want to see what happens next. And this is my favorite cover I think, of Fables. Yeah.
James Jean.
Yeah, James Jean. It's a beautiful cover.
And he's a fantastic cover
artist. I liked it. I read it, and I wanted to read the next one almost immediately. I would have waited a minute. I would have had, like, a coffee. And then I would have read
taking a quiet moment.
I would have put it back in the Mylar, sat down, closed my eyes, and just... And then picked up the next one, and then, like, let's go.
You would have drank the coffee very quickly.
It would have been a shot of espresso.
Is that what you do in between those 100 pagers?
You drink a cup of coffee? Some of them you need to drink a cup of coffee to stay up. Depending on which one. No offense to Challengers of the Unknown.
Sal, what is your top of the stack?
A book that I really didn't expect much out of.
It came out of nowhere. Huh?
Yeah, I really didn't think that I would like it too much, but I did like it a lot. Was Nova, number one, the new Nova series from...
Who's writing that?
It is Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning.
Ah, they're a fine team.
With
a couple of lads.
They really are.
Sean Chen on pencils, Scott
Very
Hanna
cool.
inks, and Guru EFX on colors, whoever that might be.
What sort of last name is FX?
I don't know. EFX? FX? It's French. No, I don't know.
It's French.
This is coming out of Annihilation, which is a series that I really had no interest in. I didn't really read much of. I kind of got the gist of it, but I didn't pick up all the issues. I wasn't that interested because I'm not a big fan of cosmic comics for some reason. There's a few that I read, but most of the time I'm kind of bored with them. I don't feel much attachment to the characters because they're in space and there's not a whole lot, you know, there's just stuff that doesn't...
Cell doesn't hang around the cosmos.
Yeah, I don't, you know what I mean?
I get it.
I can't relate too well.
You know, an asteroid when all of a sudden Nova showed up.
But this book I thought was really interesting. They've sort of, if you haven't followed Annihilation, I'm going to spoil a little bit here. At the end of Annihilation, the entire Nova Corps has been destroyed, other than Richard Rider, who's the last of the Nova Corps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has been given all the power of collected Nova.
Sounds familiar to a Green Lantern fan.
Yeah, it's very much. Maybe that's why I liked it so much.
And honestly, that's always been I enjoy the fact that Nova is like
Marvel's,
the Green Lantern Corps,
yeah,
or
GL.
Even more appropriately, like the Lensmen of the early 1920s and 30s.
It's a little before my time.
Well, but that was the basis for the Green Lantern.
It even goes back farther to the 1600s. Saddlemen.
Yes, or the Templar Knights.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway,
rich tradition.
So he's been given the collective power of the Nova Corp, and he's also taken in his brain the mind. I can't remember what they call it. It's like the mind,
the supreme.
Hive, or something. It's like this hive mind computer thing that has the history of the universe, and now he has it in his head. But it's the sentient thing.
It's a sentient thing,
and it's. You know, its own well-being is a little bit more important than what Richard Rider wants to do.
Oh, wow.
So, because if he dies, this
right.
computer will die, too. So, throughout the entire issue, he's, like, warning him. He's trying to help him do what he's doing, but he's also warning him because he doesn't
like
want to die.
Like Kitchen Knight Rider?
Kind of, yeah. A little bit of Kitchen.
Dick Rider. Don't do that.
So, they've made the character much more powerful.
That's cool.
And a little bit more interesting as far as what he's able to do. And he has sort of... If you know anything about Richard Rider, initially he wasn't always that pleased with being a Nova Corps member. And then he actually gave up his powers at one time, and then he wanted them back, and whatever. But now he's, like, completely committed to being the last of
totally
the Nova.
Totally into it.
Yeah,
totally.
And he's totally accepted that responsibility, and he now is going, like, from sector to try and, you know, solve every problem that these people are calling out for the Nova Corps to solve. And so that's sort of the basic story in this issue. And it was just, like I said, I was surprised by how interested I was in the character that I really had no interest in before. How much more of a real person they made him out to be. And just more interesting all around. But at the end of the issue, which I thought was really good, was they sort of... he was going to take a break. He was working extremely hard. He hadn't slept in days. He's been, you know, just going full tilt for a long time. And finally, after a bit of a mishap, he decides that he's going to take a break and he's going to go home to Earth and visit Earth. He hasn't been there in a long time, and he hasn't been there since the New Warriors have been killed. He doesn't know the New Warriors are dead. He doesn't know Namorita, who was his girlfriend at one time, has been killed.
Civil War was all before he left.
Yeah, he doesn't know any of this. So that's the next issue coming up, is him coming home. And at the end of this issue, you actually see Tony Stark, Iron Man, and S.H.I.E.L.D. finding out that he's all of a sudden.
Mr. Ryder?
All of a sudden,
excuse
he's.
Excuse me, you need to register.
Come on, side,
well, they kind of like pick him up on radar or something.
Would you like to be the warden of our prison?
Maybe. But come on over.
Like I said, I was
an opening.
I was completely surprised that I enjoyed it as much as I did, and I would suggest maybe checking it out. It was pretty good.
I'm glad to hear that. I might pick it up based upon your
enthusiasm.
Yeah, I mean, I really do not like cosmic books much. You know, I read Captain Comet. I think that's a great book. And a few others, but even
Green
like,
Lantern has been
yeah,
the best.
Green Lantern,
Abnett and Lanning, they're a great team. I mean, I love their British stuff. Sinister Dexter, they had a good run on that for 2000 AD. And I thought they did an excellent job on the Legion time. I don't know if you read there.
Yes,
Legion.
I did.
And also even Mr. Majestic. So I think that's really cool. And based on your excitement, I will be picking it up.
Yeah, like I said, I was just surprised. And they really made me kind of care about a character that I had no interest in whatsoever. So to me, that's a good sign of a good writer.
All right, there you go. John, what is your top of the stack?
Well, I have to say that the book that really I enjoyed the most this week was an obvious pick, and it's one of the top books for Marvel now, and that's New Avengers, Bendis' latest chapter, with the current new team, including guys like Iron Fist and Doctor Strange, and, of course, the elusive Ronin, who we still don't know exactly who's behind the mask. But it's
Yo,
a continuation
Cage.
Of that story when they busted Echo out of Japan. And it kind of shows what they were doing before they went to get Ronan, Echo, who was in Japan. And nice to see the Mighty Avengers after the New Avengers, because this is all in the aftermath of Civil War. And I think Bendis is delivering in terms of giving you these two teams, one pursuing the other, and it's great to see, and there's great mind games going on. Each set of heroes knows each other's weaknesses and strengths, and great confrontations of Iron Man going to see Iron Fist and his Danny Rand guys and saying, I knew where you were last night. And Danny Rand saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
Talk to my lawyer.
Yeah, and it was... No, it's got the typical Bendis humor, and I love Lineal Yu's art on this. And I bet that is a point of contention with some fans because it's very scratchy.
It's very different.
It is very different. I mean,
you wouldn't expect it on a book like this.
No, you'd expect a much cleaner line. But yeah. I like it. I like it dirty. It's a dirty story.
I
didn't mean to Khrushchev on you there, Sal.
No, no.
Take your shoe off.
Anyway, I really have enjoyed it. And also, Lineal's art is amazing because... at times, and I bet you it really pisses people off, Danny Rand looked like he was 65 years old. I didn't care. It was very expressive, and it really was. It worked for me. And I love this team. There's great things like, they're all hiding out at Doctor Strange's brownstone, and it's outstanding because, of course, there's a big sign on there. It's been on there for two issues, so I'm not spoiling anything. We're like, coming soon, a new Starbucks in this neighborhood.
He sold it to Starbucks. I liked it.
It's great.
The only issue I had with it, and it's no fault of Bendis, but I actually at one point got confused. I'm like, wait a minute. Who is this? Is this before Civil War? I don't know why, but I was like confused of why this team was still together and what they were doing. I don't know.
Well, this is post Civil War.
Yeah, no,
obviously Cap isn't there, and Luke is kind of calling the shots.
I figured it out, but it was just like because of the flashbacks, and it's like sometimes hard to tell the timelines.
I like Iron Fist in the Avengers. I like Doctor Strange in the Avengers. I think it's really cool. I like Ms. Marvel. And Carol Danvers being very concerned about Jessica and Luke and everything. I mean, it's a good Bendis comic. It gives you good characterization, great action. I think again, Lineal Yu's art is fantastic. So I'm very pleased.
Speaking of Ms. Marvel, that's another book that I
Brian Reed.
Man, that's a good book. That's a really good book.
Brian Reed is. We should have covered it in the news. He's going to be doing some Red Sonja stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he and Mike Oming are going to, as opposed to Mike Carey, I guess Brian Reed will now be co-writing with Mike Oming on Red Sonja.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. He's the guy to watch.
Yeah, I was shocked. I actually...
stalk him if you
want. Well,
Chris had actually turned me on to Ms. Marvel during the Civil War, and I'm like, what? And it was like the only Civil War tie-in that I read that I liked.
That's
it was,
cool.
It was really good, and it's been a very good continuing story with her and what she's going through with Tony Stark and S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything else. So
no, I think her heart's in the right place. I mean, I think if there's a conscience in the Mighty Avengers, it's Ms. Marvel, where she's like not going to let Iron Man cross the line
right.
if things get hairy, because her main concern is protecting her friends. I mean, and she you know, if she has doubts, I'm sure she has doubts about Stark and everything, but...
Well, she wants to protect her friend. She better be ready to take on the Hulk, because he's getting ready to come back and kick everyone's ass.
Did you see that preview? The pages they had in previews? Man, that was a great scene.
Oh, yeah.
And I was not interested in World War Hulk until I saw that scene. Romita Jr., great art, and, you know, good face-off with Medusa and Black Bolt, if you guys haven't seen it in previews. I'm sure you have.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually... now kind of interested in World War Hulk.
I'm so been out of shape about where the Marvel Universe is. I'm really just ready for Hulk to come back and kick people's ass. I'm looking forward.
I was going
to
say,
all okay. Everything's going to be okay when he gets back.
Hurt them for me.
One last thing on Mighty Avengers. When I read it, I keep thinking that if they just added the Hulk and a couple other characters, it would be the Defenders.
Well, yeah, you're not alone. I mean, that's always been kind of the knock on it, but I think it's a fun team. I always enjoy the classic Avengers stuff. Joe Casey's Earth's Mightiest Heroes have been fun miniseries, visiting the old team. But I have to say that I think Bendis has been proven right. It was time for a change. The book is still, you know, among the top sellers.
Yeah. Well, I also kind of like how there's the two different Avengers books with two different feels. Like, I don't necessarily like New Avengers just because I think some of the, you know, the storylines in it have never really interested me, but I actually really liked Mighty Avengers because that was much more up my alley, I guess, taste-wise. And I think it's kind of cool to have.
You're a rebel.
It's kind of cool to have two books that do have different feels to it.
And they're not like, it's not like an X-Men and Uncanny X-Men team. I mean, these are two teams.
Actually, I thought that Caters, you said it last. We were off the air when we said it. We were looking at Dan Slott's initiative, and in some ways, I think
that's
Marvel. I think Marvel is kind of. X-Men-ing the Avengers.
Right. Well, no. Both those teams have completely different objectives.
That's true.
I mean, they're what they're trying to accomplish is completely opposite of one another.
Yeah, you're right.
And so that's what I meant by not an X book. Where X-Men, it's sort of, you know, every
it's like
book
team
is
A, team B.
So I could
like the old Alpha Flight thing. It's like, here's the, you know, Alpha Flight, Omega Flight. You know, this is the different teams and how they break down.
But with this, it's, you know, while they're both called the Avengers, they're, you know, they're both trying to sort of reclaim that name for themselves and what they believe in. So,
yeah,
there you go. Sorry, I didn't mean to kill the conversation with that.
Tom's all upset now.
I'm sorry, Tom.
My top of the stack.
Would you like an ice cream?
Making its return to top of the stack. I think it seems like every other time this comes out or so, somebody picks it, and that would be Fell.
It's like Star Trek, then. The even-numbered ones are the good ones.
They're all good.
You keep picking every other one, you said.
Well, about every other one.
Take a stand.
They're all good.
Be a man about it.
Fell has been a top of the stack several times before. Issue 8 came out last week. This is, for those that don't know, comes out from Image Comics. It is Warren Ellis and Ben Templesmith. It is in their slimline format from Image, which is a 16-page no-ad format for $1.99.
Best value in comics. That and Casanova.
Absolutely. So folks that are upset about the rising prices in comics, which, listen to Bullpen Bulletins, their episode 25,
the all tears episode.
Boo-hoo.
You're on that, right?
Tom was on that, and Vince goes into a long discussion about the rising prices in comics. Well, if you have Vince's opinion, you will like Fell and Casanova because they're both $2, which is cheap money wise, but a value read. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
They're an advertisement for fun.
Well, it's not. It is not a fun book. And
except this one, not fun.
I enjoy it, but I mean, it is a dark and gritty book. What I liked about issue 8 is that if you haven't read Fell before, this is actually a pretty good issue to jump into. It is about Detective Richard Fell, and what I liked about this issue in particular is that it was told from the perspective of his detective's notepad, where he takes notes throughout the evening's events of what's going on in Snowtown. And it takes you from one case to the next. You get a murder. You get a guy who is having a relationship with a mannequin. You have someone who is abusing fruit.
Sexually?
But the mannequin.
Is he bruising?
That fruit was asking for it.
Come over here, you barking.
How did he put it? cactus. Weaponizing cactus. Weaponizing bananas. You have a demented coffee and hamburger vendor.
Really?
You have a python that has killed someone. It's all sorts of crazy stuff going on in Snowtown, and you're starting to see Detective Fell is kind of at the breaking point.
Losing it!
And, and he knows it. And that's kind of what makes it interesting, is that he knows he is a crazy person in a crazy world.
Crazy people don't know they're crazy.
Well, and I think it's that edge of sanity that he has in Snowtown that is the balance, that this is like Gotham in the world. It's Gotham if Batman had never been there. It is just a town that is totally gone off the edge, and
packs of roving killer dogs.
Yeah, they're getting closer to the center of Snowtown, farther than they've gone before. I mean, it is a town that is out of control, and these are his notes, kind of.
Bring it on, dogs. who
how
let
far,
the dogs?
We haven't gotten a collection yet for film.
I was going to mention that in the one of the great things about the Slimline books are all of the letters and the back matter, fraction stuff in the back of Casanova is great.
Essential.
It's almost as fun.
It's half the book, yeah. It really is.
And Ellis does the same thing in Fell, and he talks about this issue has actually kind of a nice little snapshot at the end that is a nice period to what has happened so far. And this will be the last issue in the first collection, so I'm sure that'll be coming out very
soon. I'm really
surprised
we haven't seen more of these Slimline books yet. You know, you have Casanova and you have Fell, but you really haven't seen anybody else jump on the bandwagon of it.
You got to find an artist that's willing to squeeze that many panels into 16 pages,
yeah.
And you have to find a writer that can write
16
that concisely
page
as well.
Nine panel grid. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd like to see more of it. I really enjoy the two books.
I want to see every
Slimline
book like this.
I would not complain.
I'd love to see.
I'm all tonight about just bold statements.
I'd love to see a weekly book like this. I would love to see a weekly
go
slim
fuck
line.
Yourself. Is that
no,
crazy?
That would be awesome. That
well,
would be
actually, that would be. I think that would be easier for Countdown's purposes if they were to do
if
something
on our 52. And if you look at 52, I mean, it was how many pages of that were the 52 storyline, and the rest of it was the backup stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what the count was, but was there 20?
Yeah, 20, and then, yeah.
Well, what I love about these is Fraction and Ellis have a great feel for telling a complete story in 16 pages, and I don't know how many writers can do that.
Well, even Ellis had said, you know, he was surprised at how hard it was for him to do it.
He said in the back matter, he talked about issue 7 and how that issue really almost
killed him.
Yeah, he says that
about everything.
Well, it almost
killed me.
So he had like 30 pages of script for that story.
I'm sure it's difficult.
And then he went to the Suicide Girls website.
Saw some tattoos, and he was good.
All right, guys. Well, that will take care of our top of the stack for the week.
Of the stack.
Top. Well, one of the things that we like is whenever listeners send in their tops of the stack, and they can, you can do that on the forum, or one of our favorites is the hotline. Sal, what's our hotline?
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail. You need a PIN number and some other number you got to punch in there, but you can see that on the website.
If you like us, you'll go through all the trouble.
Yeah.
I sacrificed my left eye to leave a message.
And that you'll get on an episode after 100.
I lost my peripheral vision, but I've gotten on the Around Comics podcast.
I said I didn't.
And apparently,
you
need to be from Canada, just
always
like this listener.
Canada.
Canadians.
A third Canadian listener.
Canadians dig you guys.
There we go.
Hey, Around Comics podcast. My name's Kyle, coming from Toronto, Ontario. I just called to try to leave a message, but I hung up instead of pressing pound, so I don't think it went through, so I'm going to do this again just in case. Just trying to keep up the good line of Canadians calling in, at least the line since editing the fellow who seems to be insane. I don't know. Anyways, I just wanted to thank you guys for some recommendations you have been making as of late.
You're welcome.
First of all, the Utopia series. I think you guys mentioned it a while back. I hope some of the listeners other than me have picked up this series. It's a great piece of writing created by Josh Finney and Kat Rocha. The artwork is this fantastic black and white, very gritty looking looking style that fits the sort of gray areas that the story works around. Definitely recommended for anybody that likes sort of sci-fi, dystopian things with a nice, clever twist. The drug that is sort of the main character in each story, the four issues that have come out so far. Hopefully there'll be more. I know it's just supposed to be a miniseries, but I hope these guys put out more. Anyways, the drug that's sort of the main character is a clever, clever idea, and I commend them for putting out. In the other series you guys recommended, obviously, a while back, The Exterminators, I've been picking it up slowly, some back issues and trades recently, and I love it. It's quirky, hilarious, disgusting, all at the same time. Even people that don't read comics, I'm slowly getting them into it. I emailed Simon Oliver after you guys had him on the show for the second time, and he was kind enough to get back, same day nonetheless, and he seems like a very interesting and intelligent and all-around good guy, so I hope he has continued success. I'm definitely going to read anything he puts out. He says he'll probably, as he said in the interview, superhero stuff isn't his kind of thing, but even if he did that, I think he could do it in a very interesting way, so I'd almost like to see that. Anyways, thanks for the great show, guys. Keep it hilarious, entertaining, and full of good news and recommendations, and I'll definitely keep listening. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, thank you.
All right, that's awesome.
Glad to hear people are liking the oddball books that we sometimes pick.
Utopians, I have not read yet.
I really liked it. And we met them, at least I met them.
In New York?
In New York.
Yeah.
And I know they talked with Brent from Ape Entertainment a little bit, and I think he looked at their stuff, and maybe there might be some. I don't know. I honestly don't know, but there might be something going on there. I really liked it. It was a completely different kind of book, and it was pretty cool. So I'm
and
glad
then everybody knows how we feel about
Exterminators. It's good to hear people are jumping on that. I hope the trades are selling well for those guys, and that book will continue because I know we all love it.
All right, and we love voicemails, especially like that, and that's what we're here for.
Is to
turn people onto books.
I want to challenge our listeners to send us some emails. We haven't really been getting many emails of late. And I'd like to hear from our listeners. Come on, send us some emails. Send them to info@aroundcomics.com. Tell us what you think of whatever. I don't know. What are you reading?
Can
what
do you email us personally at Tom or Chris or Sal?
Yes, you can.
Comics.
And let's get some emails so we can read them on the show.
You got it. There are a couple other ways that you can interact with the show. You can help us spread the Around Comics love by taking us up on our Listener LCS Challenge. Go to the website and download that flyer, and you know the story after that.
Maybe they don't
tell us about that in months, even after Tom just told people to lie about it and email.
Yeah,
them.
You don't even have to fucking do it. Yeah, really. I mean, we're not checking it.
You can become our virtual friend at
comicspace.com/aroundcomics.
You can do the same thing at myspace.com/aroundcomics. You can do my personal favorite, leave an iTunes music review. And
please, we need 3 more to 100, and Chris will be happy.
The march towards 100. 100 episodes, 100 reviews. Playing out the string.
Kirk Endel, El Shecky, Cookie, and Nikki Go
people?
Here.
Nikki Go Here. I like that.
Sounds like a
name.
Race at Belmont. Nikki Go Here came in by 3
Cookie
lights.
Cookie.
Cookie. We had 4 people drop us reviews this week.
Well, thank you all.
And really appreciate it. They were all fantastic. So thank you guys. I woke every day. It means a lot to me.
One thing I did want to say, and I posted on the forum, but we hit the 200,000 download mark this week.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
So we've had over 200,000 downloads of our show. In
congratulations. A lot of wasted hours out there, folks.
Yeah. People have a lot of free time.
But thanks to everybody that has listened over the last year or whatever.
You can, of course, join our Frapper map. Let us know where you are whenever you're listening to Around Comics.
Hi, I'm from Poughkeepsie. I just thought you'd like to know I'm listening to you here on your Frapper map.
Are we going to announce what we're going to do for episode 100?
Nice. Sure, Tom. Why don't you go ahead and announce?
We're gonna do what we do every time. If you show up and watch us, who cares?
Well, we thought about trying to put something together. Adam, we may put
boo.
Like
boo to that.
No, not nothing big. Maybe like in conjunction with another mini con.
Ice cream cake.
We might have ice cream cake and fruit punch.
I think there's going to be a mini con maybe later this summer.
Oh, is that what we're
going to do?
So nothing for 100. Who cares?
Yeah,
it's not even really 100 because we didn't do 13.
But we did an episode zero.
We did do zero.
And we've had some part A's and part B's.
Yeah,
I don't know where we are.
And 55 is still missing in action.
The great lost episode.
Yeah, I gotta go. I really feel bad about that one. I really got to get that back up so Tony Moore.
Because now everyone's going to come look for it.
Yeah.
I think what we should do for an episode 100 is just make a clip show.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that. I don't really want to go digging through DVDs.
Or just what we should do is our next 100 episodes should simply be the first 100 replayed.
You know, so by the time we hit 2 years,
you know what?
1 year later,
maybe we should ask people what they want us to do for 100.
Yeah, what do you
100?
Want us to do for 100?
I don't... Well, okay.
Talk about my favorite Marvel book. All right, don't send it.
I think. What if we get like end the show?
It was either Scott Cederlund or John Sokol or David D. One of those guys was like, you know, that's you know,
there's David
what they
D.
Think.
When I made a joke about like we'll just end we're just gonna announce we're ending it.
Yeah,
and he's like, yeah, that's kind of quirky and fun. And I think we should because I really think we've gone downhill.
That's it. We're done. The magic is gone.
It's time for Around Comics 2.0.
Yeah, video. We're doing hologram podcast.
Hologram
that's the next technology,
you get a chip
my
in
friend.
Your brain.
Exactly.
Where every week a new podcast
Wi-Fi
made
is downloaded into your head,
and you see it in your retinal.
But the thing is, the top of the stack is always your favorite book anyway.
But is it like Lawnmower Man or is it like Dreamscape?
Lawnmower Man.
I don't know.
Chris is 100%
or no, was it the
I'm sure it'll be as bad as both of those movies.
What was the Christopher Walken
The Last Starfighter.
I love that movie.
Be like Communion.
Reading Starfighter.
More like The Last Starfighter. And if you want to hear more about The Last Starfighter, check out some of our upcoming episodes. Episode 100 is an all Last Starfighter episode.
Oh, I'm all over that.
So check on the Tuesday before that comes out.
At
our forum at aroundcomics.com.
And you can check out all the great things that aroundcomics.com has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, check out comicspodcasts.com.
I'm supposed to read this next part, but I already read it.
You already read it, yeah.
Well, thank you to Borders for sponsoring this week's episode. Borders has thousands of manga and graphic novels. In fact, you'll find everything you're looking for and discover unexpected new authors and series simply by visiting Borders. Save on your favorite books, graphic novels, and more. Click on the Borders banner at the Around Comics website for a 20% off coupon and check Borders first. Find a store near you at borderstores.com or use the Borders store locator at aroundcomics.com.
And we're proud to help support the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support for the essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, make sure you check out their website, heroinitiative.org, or call 310-909-7809. Now on to the countdown.
Casey made Casey's return.
Beautiful friend.
Well, that's it.
Mother?
We're done.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us today. Tom, Sal, John, as always.
You're welcome.
It was great to have Matt
thank you.
And
Mr. and Mrs. Paradiddle. Mr. and Mrs. Diddle.
I'll see you first, Kadish.
Oh,
I'll see you at the end of the show,
Doom,
John.
Dan Dio.
Thank you, Doom.
Tonight. All of Canada.
All except the French Canadians.
Yeah, the French Canadians.
Just kidding. Just kidding. French Canadians. We love
thank,
you.
I want to thank Mark at Dark Tower Comics for hosting us. As always, it is another Friday night. Friday is the new Wednesday that we used to say way back when.
Sure.
I think Friday does fine on its own.
Friday is finally
even better now because it's like Wednesday.
Friday has captured the awesomeness that Wednesday holds. Well, Friday everyone. Cut off Wednesday's head.
Friday is the new nerd day. Nerd day.
Oh, yes, it is. The poor Miss Paradiddle having to come in and sit through
Mrs.
that.
Mrs. Diddle.
Actually, no, fiance.
Oh, fiance? Oh, he still has a chance
to get
out.
She still has time.
Oh,
she still has time.
Do you think he's trying to get out of it?
You drove from California for this? What the hell?
How can I get rid of her? I'll take her to a comic shop to
watch
a podcast.
Watch four guys argue about, I don't know.
LARPing's kind of boring.
Yeah, when I was LARPing the other night, I thought we did a really cool thing with wizards and elks.
I pretended that red kryptonite was like black kryptonite. Elk needs food.
Good lord. Well, if you want more really geeky conversation, come back on Thursday, because Tom and Sal and I are going to be breaking down the first 50 weeks of 52.
And then 4 weeks later, listen to our breakdown of the last two issues.
Oh, and the World War III tie-ins. Yeah.
Can you tell we ran out of ideas for this week?
In between now and
in
Thursday,
between you and the wall,
catch up on 52. We'll be back then.
Try and catch up.
In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in
and around
comics.
How to Change a Tire episode.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and love?